You wouldn't have had any contact with other Jewish families,
no,
did
not
you?
Much, no, no.
I see, that's very interesting. And then what happened? You were educated here in Scotland?
Oh yes, completely. And my father got British citizen after the war, of course. The Polish soldiers didn't want to go back to communist Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And I could give you my father when we became British. 1949, 30th of August, 1949, we became British subjects.
But you would have known nothing else apart from Scotland?
No, no. And of course, I learned English before my mother. And so when we went shopping, by four I would take my mother to the shops. And at four and a half I started school in Dundee. I went to a lot of different schools as we moved. A lot of primary schools during the course of the war. I don't think it did my education any good.
Probably didn't.
No.
And did your mother learn English?
Never
did she...
properly.
Right.
Never completely, no.
Mm-hmm. But she was...
But she could speak French, Polish, Russian, right. You know.
Just not English. And then after school, what happened then?
Well, my father died while I was still at school, and the company he worked for, North British Locomotive Company in Springburn, agreed to take me on as an apprentice. And I became an engineering apprentice and completed an apprenticeship and... you know, studies, evening classes, etc. And I finished up in the drawing office as a draftsman, and I worked there until the company started slowly sinking. And I then decided to become a teacher, went to Jordan Hill, was accepted by Jordan Hill, and I became a teacher of technical subjects. And I worked in various Glasgow schools, working my way up, finishing as head of department in Govan High School. And I retired at 50.
Out of choice?
I had the opportunity, and I couldn't afford to stay. I got a good deal.
There was a stage, I think, when they were...
wonderful. I got 10 years onto my 25.
Well, very good.
So, well, the maximum's 40, so I thought I'll never get a chance at this again. Mm-hmm. Plus a lump sum, plus a pension.
Yes. Well,
so I've had a pension since I was 50.
Well, that was very good. It was indeed.
But I didn't stop work.
Mm-hmm. What did you do after that?
Another career. Well, I went back into engineering in the hi-fi industry. I worked a computer drafting system for a well-known hi-fi company in the south side of Glasgow.
In Sondag? So no...
So
I thought that was quite delicately done, actually.
Anyway, it didn't quite work out as planned. After just over 3 years, we parted company, and the Berlin Wall had collapsed.
Right.
And I saw an advert for a company who was taking Americans around Europe, groups of American students, young people. And because of the possibility of travelling Russia and these other former Soviet states, they were looking for people with the languages and the experience in travel. And I had travelled to many of these countries as a student when I got involved in student exchanges through the Scottish Union of Students and the British Council.
And did you speak Polish?
I did. Oh, yes. And Russian.
I see. Speaking to your mother in those languages?
Polish, yeah. No, my mother and father used to speak Russian if they didn't want me to understand.
Which is a very good way for you to learn.
So as an adult, I learned Russian.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And Polish as a child?
Well, Polish as a child. Mm. And I had to relearn French. So I'm fluent in French, Polish and Russian.
And did French come more easily, do you think, because it had been...
Not at school. When I left school, I learned French.
I see.
I thought the school system was dreadful. Mm-hmm. That a French-born person could fail a French exam in third year is a reflection on the school. However, I wasn't a great pupil, I suppose. Anyway, I've made up for it.
I was going to ask you, where did you learn Russian?
The evening classes at university.
Thank goodness.
And so
that was way back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. We interrupted you. You then became...
a tour manager, with student groups and then adult groups.
And that meant you actually...
And I specialised in the former communist countries.
I see.
But I travelled all over Europe. I travelled everywhere. By rail, ship, plane, bus, lots of things.
That must have been very
wonderful.
Interesting.
So I worked at that for 15 years. And you know, I only gave that up in 2005 because by that time my wife had fully retired. And so we travel together now.
Excellent.
What's your favourite place to visit?
Well, France, really. I always feel at home there, like the style. When I was teaching, I had thought I might like to retire to France, but then I got this tourism job, and I was working until 68. Mm-hmm. You know, and I forgot all about retiring anywhere.
And you mentioned your wife. How did you meet her?
I met her in Glasgow when it was a Valentine's thing in the 1960s, mid-60s. Some kind of computer dating. Not a marriage bureau, it was dating. And you, for your pound, you got 6 phone numbers. I got 6 phone numbers. She was one of the phone numbers.
Number one?
No, she wasn't number one.
Oh, well, then that
but she is now.
So after your father died... did your mother, was she working or...?
Yes, she worked for a short time as a dinner lady, you know, in school lunches. She also made lampshades, and that was silk lampshades.
Oh,
she bought frames and binding and hand, and she had got one downstairs.
She probably taught herself how to do that.
And so she had a lot. She could talk, and she was... very French in her manners and dress, and managed to have a lot of nice customers who liked these nice things and paid for them.
Right.
And he'd already met my father when we lived in Irvine. When the war ended, we were living in Irvine, and my father was headhunted. They were looking for engineers in Biloko. And he was offered a job, but he couldn't take a job as long as he was in the army. But the army released him, and NB Loco just paid his train fare into it, because in the army the war had ended, they were just sitting in barracks.
Mm-hmm.
So he would travel to Glasgow every day from Irvine, and they paid his fare, but they didn't pay him a salary because he was still in the army. But as soon as he was demobbed, yes, he got salary, and he got two rooms in a flat in Alexander Parade, top floor, that we shared with the chief draftsman and his family.
You must have been, and your family must have been quite exotic for the rest of the people.
Yes,
Was that not true?
Well, what happened in Alexander Parade was, after the war, my mother went out and bought fruit, and Mrs. Fett, that was the chief draftsman's wife, when she saw that my mother had bought fruit, she said, "Is somebody sick?" They didn't eat fruit.
That's interesting. But were you ever aware that you were unusual?
I knew, yes, because we had mixed with Jewish people, but I was also aware that my mother was trying to make me blend in.
Mm-hmm.
So the two fat boys in Alexander Parade went to Sunday school. I went to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to blend in.
Yes, I'm
because they knew what was happening to Jews, and they didn't know whether, you know, what was going to happen. It was, the war had just ended. It was always this hiding
yes.
mentality, I think.
And did that continue later, do you think, for them?
No, I don't think.
Near the time. I'm surprised in one way that they spoke to you in Polish or Russian.
They spoke Polish.
I suppose they had no other...
At that time, it was odd. Nowadays, of course, everybody speaks Polish if you walked out the party. But, you know, if you spoke Polish in the street, people stopped to look. But they wouldn't do that now.
Well, I'm sure that's true.